Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Watch night service historically have been met with great anticipation and have had great results. It was in the year 1901. Thank you, worship team. Keys, please. It's in the year 1901. How many of you know the story of the modern day outpouring in Topeka, Kansas? How many know where Topeka, Kansas is? 1901, as it crossed into the new year, Charles Parham and he was a Bible teacher. And he believed, along with his students, and as I read different accounts, it was the students who really egged him on. They believed that from Acts 2 and other places in Acts, that if they would lay hands on each other and pray, that they would get filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And so this one particular lady said, God's going to fill me with the Spirit. I'm going to get a prayer language. God, I'm going to get filled with the Spirit. I'm going to get tongues right now. They laid hands on her and it just crossed over into the new year. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. The whole place was freaked out. And they began to lay hands on all the other students. And all the other students got filled. News spread. It went on into the morning and on into the next day. People began to flood into that place and get filled with the Spirit. It was so intense that they brought linguists from the local university. How many of you know what a linguist is? It's not a pasta. It's people that study languages. And they came and they heard them speaking in tongues. And there were real languages, dialects, Chinese dialects, and different things. And that marked really the modern day outpouring of the Spirit of God. There's other times in history, but in fact, 1901, that year around the world, things happened like that. And that started the modern day Pentecostal movement. Church of God started out of that. Assembly of God started out of that. Azusa Street. You ever heard of Azusa Street? William Seymour. God has a sense of humor. William Seymour, a one-eyed black man, wasn't even allowed into the meetings with Charles Parham because of racism. He sat outside listening to the messages. He was not allowed inside the class, but he could sit outside the classroom, and he did. He went to Los Angeles, California, in Brea Street. That whole story of he began to preach, people began to get filled with the Spirit, and it was the Azusa Streets over 100 years ago. And from that, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, is spread around the world. There are more Pentecostals than any other denomination in Christianity, and is spreading like wild. Why is that? Because they got fire. Fire spreads. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, someone say, fire spreads. Yes. Father, thank you. Thank you that you still pour out your Spirit. Thank you that you still heal the sick and set the captives free. You still lift scales from people's eyes that they would see you. You still save the lost. You still heal the sick. You still set the captives free. You might have come in this place, or maybe you're online and you're broken. Maybe you've got some bondage in your life or some addiction in your life. I want you to know that you don't have to go home with that. You don't have to turn off that broadcast without getting rid of it. You can get rid of it. You can get healed. Your marriage can get healed. Your kids can get healed. You can get healed. I said on Sunday I'll be leading someone to Jesus every day. And today's not over yet, so, but I've had tremendous results of the past since Sunday. And this I'm about to share comes from a, this is not my message I'm about to share, but I was in a heated debate. And you know something, you gotta get in those sometimes. Some Christians, I don't know. One of the things that didn't attract me to Christianity is I saw that most Christian men were like sissies. I'm just saying, my feeling of it back when I was a kid is like, I wouldn't wanna be they just seemed weak to me. Of course, I didn't really see a real biblical masculinity. I never saw that till later. But it was my estimation of things that church was for girls or wives. I was distorted, not unlike some of you. Sometimes you need to stand up and fight. And I think that I'm made for that. I like doing that. It's just kind of the way I am. And I have this thing that happened to me that if someone's gonna go off and begin to share something that's not true, I have an obligation before heaven to make sure in the hearing that people would understand that what they're saying is not true. So today, in the sauna, and I hope you're on, today in the sauna, and it was like, I don't know, five or six guys, and people in the locker room, all kinds of people hearing. And somebody tried to argue that the Word of God is written by men and it's all fake and it's a bunch of religion, tried to give me the definition of religion from the Greek. And I quoted this to him, but didn't do such a good job. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to punch this in the throat when I preach tonight. So if you would allow me just for a moment to punch something in the throat. Thank you, Minister Toby. If you look in the book of Genesis in the first 11 chapters, you'll find a genealogy, and I have done this before, but it is so profound and such evidence of the fact that no man wrote this book. It was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you'll never convince me that a bunch of Jewish rabbis conspired together to produce the Christian Bible, right? The Christian message, right, in the book of Genesis. Let me say that again. You'll never get me to agree that a bunch of rabbis got together, conspired together to write the Torah, that in the first 11 chapters and the first lives of the genealogy of the book of Genesis, the gospel's preached. Really clear. I'm not talking about the proto-evangelium. I'm not talking about when the seed of the woman, the declaration from God, the seed of the woman will crush your head. That is the first time the gospel is preached. But you see the gospel preached in the names of those who come from Adam all the way to Noah. And I'm going to prove it to you just for a moment. It's going to take another 3 minutes, and it's for my friend who needs to hear this. Mr. The man wrote the Bible. Adam is the first man. Adam, the name means, anybody know? Man. You might want to write this down. But man. Man. The next, Seth. Seth means appointed. After that comes Enosh, which means mortal. Then Canaan, which means sorrow. In the genealogical record comes Mahalalel. Would you say that? Mahalalel, which means the blessed God. After Mahalalel comes Jared, which means shall come down. After Jared means Enoch, which means, anybody know? Teaching. Teaching. After Enoch comes Methuselah. Everybody say Methuselah. You thought you were old. Methuselah beats everybody. And Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means despairing, and Noah means rest. I'll go through it one more time. and put it together in a sentence. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means a despairing. Noah means rest or comfort. Put it together in a sentence, and it says, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, that his death shall bring the despairing rest. So what are you going to do with that? Lift your hands to heaven. Yeah. God inspired men, the inspiration that God breathed into holy men of old that wrote God's word. It's amazing. Put your hands together for Jesus. Take your Bibles and let's get into the main text. As I was praying about what to share with you tonight, I found my text from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and then Numbers. And then we'll go to 2 Chronicles. But I heard the Lord say that this is going to be a year of unprecedented victory. A year of unprecedented victory. Now, immediately I thought, yeah. And then the next thing I thought, there's battles. To have victories, you got to be in a fight. You're going to be in a war. And I heard repeatedly, don't be afraid, which kind of made me afraid because I'm not afraid. I'm just not given to fear. It's not something like, I'm not wired like that. Were you afraid? No, I'm not. So when the Lord tells me, don't be afraid, I thought, how come? It's a little concerning. It is a year of unprecedented victory. Say it is going to be a year of unprecedented victory. And in 2024, we had an amazing victory. We started a school. It took us 10 months to do it. We have an elementary school. We're adding 2 grades next year, unless the Lord does some other miracles, which he'll most likely do. We'll add more than that as God directs us to. We can stay in this building for another year, and then after that, we need to make some moves. We started a school, and God's pouring out his spirit at that school. The elementary school, soon to be a full elementary, soon to be a full high school. We started we partnered with the Dream Center and long before that our beloved Rob and Charisse have been here in this state beating the fool out of the devil for about 20 years, about the same amount of time that I came. We came just about the same time. And we partnered and created the King's Dream Center and just kind of revamped and relaunched, and we're excited about the things that are taking place. Would you put your hands together for the King's Dream Center? What's up? What's up? And if you know anybody that needs help with life-controlling problems or addiction or anything like that, then we have, for men currently, a place for them to go. You need to make application for that. But what a great, great job you've done over the past 20 years, and it's a joy to finally work together with you and your wife and the whole team at King's Dream Center. That's amazing. Purchased 30 acres there. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And I could go on and on and on. I'm thrilled about the Native Fellowship and what God's doing there, and 20 leaders that have risen to take the yoke to move forward. So encouraged about the lighthouse that we have, the women's house. We have a house where ladies can make application and go and get their lives back together there. The transformations. There's over 100 people. I think it's hit as high as 150. We're reaching people. We've had thousands come to the knowledge of Jesus. It's amazing. Come on, give God praise right now. We had 153 life groups, that's never happened in the state of Alaska that I am aware of. Now, it might have happened that I don't know about it, but from what I've known being here, that just, everybody said, no, small groups don't work, life groups don't work, people aren't going to go to a small group. Well, apparently, over 500 people go to them every week. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about 500 people meeting in homes and cafes and different places, learning and growing in the Word. It's been a year of unprecedented victory as I look back, but I really heard the Lord say it is going to be an amazing year of unprecedented victory. Come on, God is good. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's all stand up for the reading of God's Word. The account here of the promised land and the children of Israel on the brink of fulfillment. Verse 21 of Deuteronomy 1, New King James. If you have a New King James, say amen. All right, good. Deuteronomy. Chapter 1, verse 21. Look, the Lord your God has sent the land before you, has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. Everybody say, go possess it. Go possess it. As the Lord your God of your fathers has spoken to you, and do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me. This is Moses recounting the story. Let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way in which we should go up and of the cities of which we shall come. Verse 23. The plan pleased me well. So I took 12 men, one from each tribe, and they departed. They went up into the mountains. They came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and destroy us. Father, I pray that you would move in great power in the moments that I preach tonight, in this final message of 2024, that we would never be the same as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I believe we're on the brink of something in the United States of America that has never happened before. Oh, I know there's been outpourings, as I mentioned, at Azusa Street and Topeka, Kansas. There's been outpourings before this was a nation. George Whitefield and different ones. And then there's been regular moments of God pouring out his Spirit. I believe that we're at that type of a moment right now where God is going to pour out on his sons and daughters. They're going to come from afar, from the north, south, east, and west. I believe that God is going to mark this generation with power, with fire, with purity, with holiness. I believe that more people are going to come to the knowledge of Christ in 2025 than we have ever seen before. I'm prophesying and believing that we will double in size by the summer. By the summer. It's not that hard to do, really. We encourage you to take the Ripple Challenge. And I know some people have gone ahead and taken it seriously because I was stopped randomly once again at the gym. And Bill says to me, hey, Pastor, I took the challenge. I'm like, what challenge? He's like, I took the Ripple Challenge. My boss is going to come Sunday, I think. I'm like, let's go. If we all thought that way, there would be a doubling. And I think back in my own life about how difficult things were for me when I was a kid. I remember my missionary uncle. He was a part of the Inland Chinese Mission Society. He came and he told us of these stories. His name is Kenneth McCall, my mother's side. He came and told us these stories about going to China, and he was a medical missionary, but they preached the gospel too. He told us these stories how they were going from one village to the next, and a man appeared all in white. And he said, "Don't go this way. Go that way over the ridge." And so they stopped and they went the other way over the ridge. And when they got there, they discovered this town, and they had been watching them. The Chinese had been watching them, not the soldiers, but regular town people. And they said, "Why did you turn? We watched you turn and come towards us. Why did you do that?" They said, "We saw a man and he stopped us and said, go this way." They said, "Well, if you had gone any further, you had gone right into the tank traps and you all would have died." So there I am. I'm five years old. And he told us other stories about Jesus and the power of God. And I later read some of his books, as you can still find them on the Eucharist or on communion, and how he, as he came back to England, he was a psychiatrist. And so he would go into mental hospitals and he started preaching the gospel in mental hospitals, and they would serve communion to the patients with the mental hospital and saw miraculously people getting set free. I have his book in part of my library. I've read through it. Dr. Morocco had the book before I did. He actually told me the book exists. He existed. He found out it was my relatives. He said, your relative wrote a very interesting book. And so I went and got the book and read it also. But you know what I never heard? I never heard from anyone. If you believe on Jesus, you believe that he died on a cross, you believe he rose again from the grave, if you confess your sins to him, if you repent of your sin, he will come in and take up residence in your heart. You'll be forgiven. It's the only way to make it to heaven. You can't earn it. You must be born again. I never heard that. I just believe that what's going to happen is that all of us are going to be activated. We're going to have a burden from heaven to share the good news of Jesus. We are on the brink of the greatest breakthrough, not unlike them. They were on the brink of fulfilling their destiny. They were on the brink of fulfilling the prophetic word from hundreds of years before Abraham, Father Abraham, heard from God. "I'll bring you back to this place and I'll give you this land." And the Lord marked it out and he made a covenant with Abraham. And they're right there ready to fulfill it. God's with them, the power of God. But they shrunk back. They were defeated. And when you look how they were defeated, it's just mind-boggling to me. How could they do it? I mean, they saw the Red Sea. They saw Pharaoh. They say they ate the manna, the quail. They saw all the miracles. I've had people say, "Well, if I see a miracle, then I'll believe." No, you won't. They saw all the miracles. And signs do point to the Savior. The greatest miracle is that he takes out the heart of stone and puts in the heart of flesh. The greatest miracle is he translates someone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's the greatest miracle. And I believe that God is going to set this church on fire to invite people. And we're going to see hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people come to the knowledge of Christ. And it won't stop there. People will grow like you have, and they'll get discipled, and they'll learn about the word, and they'll learn about sanctification. They'll learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They'll learn and they'll start living it. And our whole community can change. Our whole state can change. The whole nation, the United States of America, I believe in the heart of God, is going to come under a deluge of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And there's going to be a revival such the likes that we have never seen. And it might even start from Alaska. I'm crazy enough to believe it, and I think I'm looking at a bunch of other crazies too. Why not? Where is the gospel that causes people to go over land and sea? Where is, as the man of God said who founded Teen Challenge, what's his name? David Wilkerson. Where's the anguish? Anguish. A burden. Something happened to me on Sunday morning in the wee hours in my home when I was preparing for Sunday to preach. Is the Lord, for just a moment, in a very real, very profound way, lifted his joy, I felt what it was like to be unsaved. I don't know how long it was, but I did not like it. And he just reminded me what it was like to be separate from him for just a moment. He said, that's not theologically accurate. You can say whatever you want. God does stuff with me. He does things like that. He messes with me. Some of you might need to be messed with. And I was just crushed for a moment. When I came to church, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm saved. I just said to Minister David, who was up front helping to run sound and all of that, I just said to him, I said, hey. He's like, yeah. I said, I'm born again, bro. I'm born again. I've been spirit-filled. He saved me. He healed me. He delivered me. And then it's not just so that you could be saved, not just so you could be forgiven, because then you just drop dead. No, it's not just so you be saved and forgiven and then just go to heaven. No. I'm here to take the promised land, so help me God. And I believe that there's a whole bunch of, am I yelling? Good. He's trying to wake the church up. He's trying to set a fire on the inside of your heart. He's trying to break off fear and unbelief, because that's what they had. They had fear and unbelief. They had no idea who they were. And many people don't know who they are. It's one of my life messages, your identity in Christ. Because what I did prior to coming to Christ was reprehensible, embarrassing. My mother hates it when I share my testimony. Sorry, Mom. But the testimony's powerful. He snatched me like a stick from the fire. I'm not going to go into all of it, but I know what it is to be separate from God. I know what it is to be tormented. I know what it is to hear voices. I know what it is to be a hopeless, lost case on some corner somewhere without God, without hope in the world. I know what it is to be tormented. I know. And I know what it is to be free. I know what it is to be healed. I know what it is to be made whole by the blood of Jesus. And if people can get a hold of the Jesus that got a hold of me, if people can get a hold of Jesus like that, if they can find out it's not stupid, dead religion, like you said, sir, from the sauna. I hate religion too. Relationship, oh, I like that. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. We pray for all the sauna people to be set free. You think the sauna's hot? There's another place called hell, and I preached on it on Sunday. It's much hotter than the sauna. I like a sauna around 220, which is nothing compared to Pastor Tim. He's like 230 plus. That's like a native thing or something. I don't know. Slavic people, too. He can just handle. Can I just let you know a little secret? When I'm in the sauna with a Slavic person or a native person, my goal is to stay in longer than them. But I don't tell them. Because if you tell them, you lose. Okay. So it's a competition they don't know they're participating in. This text, it reminds me of where we are. On the brink of fulfilling destiny and purpose as a nation, as a people. No matter what you think about Donald Trump, he's certainly not the Savior or the Messiah. We don't worship him, but I sure like his policies. I sure like the fact that they don't like abortion. I sure like the fact that they're not into mutilating little boys and little girls and destroying children. I sure like the fact that he stands on the fact of what I believe is truth and righteousness, which is God's word. And I don't really give a flip if somebody doesn't like me for the fact that I voted for Trump. I'd do it again and again and again. And anybody else that would stand on biblical truth and see it come to pass, I don't know about the level of corruption and what's going on. I'm going to leave that all to the Lord, but I must vote the issues. We started a school because you can't have our children, period. They can't have children of their own, so they want to have schools and do craziness to it's yours. Did I just say that? I'm going to say it again and again and again. And I've had somebody say, you need to relax up there. You relax. I'm going to go into the promised land. Is anybody going to go into the promised land? Unprecedented victory. Unprecedented victory in 2025. Unprecedented souls. Unprecedented breakthrough. Wore my tuxedo just to celebrate tonight. A couple things I'm going to show you and then we'll move on. God promises. He sets the land before you. That's what the text says. So he promises. He has promises for you. Come on, somebody say he's got promises. Have a water, please. He has promises. He has promised land. That's another way to think about that. He has promised land for you. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus and say, I got a promised land. But the promised land has to be possessed. You dispossess the inhabitants of the promised land. You must take the promised land. It doesn't just roll up in an SUV and you open up the back and you get all the promises. That's not how the SUV you roll up in is right here. You get this. You stand on this. You decree this. You pray. You preach. You prophesy. You fast. And you stand on what God says you can have. Real success is having what God says you can have, doing what God says you can do, being who God says you can be. And they did not know who they were. And many of you might not know who you are either. Because if you don't know, then you will not possess what God has for you. We live far beneath our God-given, blood-bought right. God promises we possess. Say that. God promises we possess. Make it personal. God promises I possess it. So if you want a bellyache about how someone's got more favor than somebody else, that's on you. You live in America. You might be able to say something if you lived in some third world country, but you live here. You don't understand my parents. I understand. You went through brokenhearted situations. I get it. I did too. Get healed. You got to get healed. Amen. Nobody likes me. It's because you're mean. You need to be set free from that mean thing. You're a jerk. You're angry. How come? Because you were hurt. Probably anger is usually a cover for hurt. God gives, we possess. Say that. God gives, we possess. And the interesting thing in this text with them going to the promised land before we go to 2 Chronicles 20 is they wanted assurance. How many of you like when you get assurance from God? I do. I like that. The Word of God gives you assurance, but I like seeing that. The evidence of faith. I like seeing an encouragement. This building was a challenge for us. And the finger, I call it the fingerprint of God. The fingerprint on this building was so evident that we couldn't get away from it. Like, we knew that it wasn't God, that it wasn't man, it wasn't our idea. I've told you the stories. When we first staked it out, I stood on that far corner. It's all staked out. I'm with Wally. I'm standing on the corner, and he says, do you see the end? I said, yeah. He says, that's not it. I can see where you're looking. That's not the end. That's the lobby. I'm like, oh. He said, the end. I saw the end, and instantly my heart filled with fear, like, oh, you're insane. Since the next thought I have. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see it. He says, what do you think? I says, awesome. It's perfect. Hey, I'll see you later. I walked away, and I just started walking. I thought, oh, ramakabahashata. That's tongues. Oh, God. Oh, I kept walking. I thought, okay, now this is you. You're the one that orchestrated it. You're the one that put it together. Oh, God, it's huge. Oh, God. Oh, God, have we made a mistake? No, we haven't made a mistake. You made a mistake. No, we didn't. I felt psychopathic. God coming through over and over. It was one of the very next, listen to this. This is a great story. One of the very next prayer meetings, I think it was that week, standing there on a Saturday, some of you were there, a guy comes walking up with his dog, walks across, you remember this? Walks across, and I go to talk to him and say, you know, what are you doing on my property? I was saying it nicely. He said, I've been walking this for 15 years. What are you guys doing? I said, we're building a church. He said, oh, thank God. I said, amen. He's like, wow. And he's affected. We prayed over him and he went on his walk and we prayed at all the different corners of the building that was staked out. And so as we're praying, he comes back 10 minutes later. He appears with his little dog. Puts his hand up and I go over to him. He's weeping and he says, I need to pay for the entire foundation. I'm like, yes, you do. I need to pay for the whole foundation. I didn't say that. That would have been rude, but I'm like, amen. He's like, hallelujah. So we just rejoice. God's power. And then he's like, how big is it? I said, 73,000 square feet. He's like, oh. I never heard from him again, but I got very encouraged. Oh, that's on between him and the Lord, you know. Maybe God spoke to him, maybe he didn't. Maybe he's just planted there to encourage me, to give me some assurance. They needed assurance, so they sent the spies in, and the spies are supposed to come back like, oh yeah, it's happening, giant grapes, God's with us, promised land for sure. Look what the Lord has done, yeah. And I mean, they just come back with this amazing report, and then they say, yeah, but, dude, giants, really big giants. And if you go to Numbers, I think it's chapter 13, you go to the end of that, it says, we seemed like grasshoppers to them, and so we were grasshoppers in our own eyes. And they did not go in to the promised land to possess what God had already given them because they were afraid. There is unprecedented victory heading this way. There is unprecedented victory for anybody who would believe. There's unprecedented victory for you and for me. But if you yield to fear, if you yield to fear, you've got to get a word from God and you've got to just get in that thing and declare it. Push fear aside. Caleb expressed his faith. We didn't read it. Verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. It doesn't matter that there's giants. I think God's raised up some Calebs here. A different spirit. And he's raising them up all over America. He's raising up people that are not ashamed to share their faith, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation. They're not ashamed. They care more about somebody missing heaven or going to hell than being offended. As I stood there with that precious man today, and he started going off about some uneducated nonsense with authority and boldness, which he has, I had to stop him and said, no, you're wrong. Conflict, yeah. My nice sauna didn't feel so nice right there. Everybody's like, oh, great, great. Religious argument. But if you don't boldly share, don't let people... I have another word going through my mind that I'm not going to use. Don't let people abuse you, and don't swallow the nonsense that happens. It's okay to have conflict. If you're afraid of having conflict, let me say it this way. If you don't confront things, you'll have the devil running your family. If you don't confront things, you'll have the devil running your business. If you don't confront things, then people will believe a lie. And then you'll stand before the Lord when it's all said and done, and he'll ask you, what happened? So I confronted it, and I hope I did it gentle enough, but at the same time with five other people listening, you can't be spouting off nonsense and erode people's faith, not while I'm standing there. Can't let it happen. So maybe I'm the jerk pastor, but in the end, we'll find out. Caleb and Joshua, they took a stand, but it wasn't enough. They had a distorted view of themselves. They had a distorted view of God. I should say, actually, when you have a distorted view of God, you will have a distorted view of yourself, and you'll never go into the unprecedented breakthrough. You'll stay defeated all your life. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Yeah, I got to take this just a step further. You can not only miss the promised land, you can miss heaven. And there's so many scriptures. Because of a distortion, you can miss heaven. Let me read them to you while you're journeying to 2 Chronicles. 2 Peter 2, 21 and 22. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Colossians 1 and 21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If, that's a big word right there. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what was being pushed in the sauna today. Doctrines of demons. Not on my watch. And I want to make sure I don't have any doctrines of demons either. That's why we study, to show ourselves approved. That's why we have accountability. It's important. That's why we have discipleship. And if 1 Timothy 1:19, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. I mean, I have all these scriptures here. I'm going to stop. It is possible to reject the Lord. I do believe it's possible to, having once received him, to turn from him. And what somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Which is the sin that makes you lose your salvation? I don't think it's like that. I actually think I did it. What do you mean? I mean, I gave my life to Jesus, and for 3 years, I was like a yo-yo. In the church, out of the church. In the church, out of the church. In the church, reading the word, loving God, out of the church, living like a devil. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until I got totally set free. It took a little minute. I was a late bloomer. And I remember being in a place where I laughed at the gospel and I laughed at Christians, having once received him before that. Your heart can go hard. And I don't think it's the one sin that you then did that pushed you off. I think it's a gradual turning, and before you know it, you don't think about God anymore. You don't love God anymore. You don't live for him anymore. You don't go to church anymore. You don't read the Bible anymore. You don't pray anymore. And you're just back doing the old thing that you were doing, or maybe you're doing the old thing for the first time and it's a new thing and you're gone. I've met people like that, and I was like that. You can undermine God's best for you. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you're all there, give a big whoop, whoop. Oh, hey, pretty good. Would you flip me my phone, son? Thank you. We're going to get to praying here in a minute. 2 Chronicles is a favorite passage of mine. In fact, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 is one of my favorites, but I'm going to take it from a little bit further back. If you're all in 2 Chronicles 20, say amen. So Jehoshaphat is up against this vast army. Look at verse 2. Some of the people came and told Jehoshaphat a vast army is coming. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2. So here's another battle. They were in a battle in Moses' day. They're in a battle here. Israel was always in a battle, and they never had to be afraid when God was with them. When God was with them, they always won. When God wasn't with them, they got clobbered. For us in this church and for all of you under the sound of my voice, God has absolute victory, unprecedented victory, but you will not see it come to pass without being right with God and contending and believing and having your identity. If you have a distortion, you're going to end up messed up. America has a distortion, but we're hoping to see that changed. This army is massive. Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, the temple of the Lord, in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord God, he prays, Lord God of our ancestors, are you not the God who's in heaven? This is a new international version now. You rule over the kingdoms and nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Our God, Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? I mean, he starts quoting the very thing that we're reading about and how God did it. He's going on and worshiping and declaring his presence in the temple that bears his name. Verse 9, they cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here we are. And he talks about this army and they're coming in this territory. There is an invasion going on in the United States of America. Oh, I do believe it's an invasion over the southern border. I don't know what's going on with that crazy fog. I don't know about all the drones. I just know that there's a very real bad devil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not going to be afraid of the fog. I'm not going to be afraid of the drones. I'm not going to be afraid of China. I am going to walk with God with fire and power and authority and get the harvest in. That's what it's all about. And you can get distracted with all the reels and all the posts and all the feeds that come through. What are we going to do? What are you talking about? Going to do what he did. He prayed. He prayed. This is him praying. But now, here, verse 10, men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came through Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us. The enemy always comes to steal your stuff. He wants to steal your marriage, steal your kids. He wants to destroy you. He wants to give you sickness. He wants to give you disease. You have to stand up like Jehoshaphat and fight. Israel, there's 12 spies. Only two of them knew how to fight. They said, no, we can do it. The other said, no, we can't. Lord brought us out here to kill us. He might have brought you out here to kill you, but he ain't going to kill me. I'm going to go on to the other side. Come on, somebody say, I'm going over. Now, he didn't bring you over here to kill you either. Unless you say that, then the very words that he hears from your mouth, he will perform. You'll actually open up a portal of hell and might as well just put a bullseye on your chest. Verse 12, our God, did you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a prayer. Oh, anybody else been there? Has anybody else been there? I've been there a number of times in my life. I have no doubt I'll be facing it again. And I will, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, do the very same thing. Stand there, pray in tongues, look up to heaven and say, you called me, you brought me here. What do you want to do, God? You're going to do it. And I might have to pray and fast and go back and forth, and I might be a whole night that way. Maybe it's two nights, maybe it's three nights, and then God comes. How do you know? Because I've been doing this for 30 years, and I see it in Scripture, and I've never lost, and neither will you, and neither is everybody else. It doesn't yield to fear, back off, compromise, and quit. The only one that can stop you is you. I'm preaching way better than you're amening. I can hear them in concert of you right now. that sounds maybe a little bit arrogant. It's by the grace of God and a company of people praying and agreeing. I need to fix anything, Pastor Karen. It can come off a little bit like, well, you still have that cavalier attitude. Reference to three messages ago. Verse 13, read verse 13 with me. All the men of Judah and their wives and their children and their little ones stood before the Lord. Listen, let me tell you, you have little ones, you're all here, all you little ones. Learn to stand with your parents before the Lord. Learn to pray. Learn to fast. Just make sure it's in agreement with your parents and all that. Turn the TV off. Put up the video game. You want to see God pour out his spirit and start praying for miracles. Doesn't matter how old you are. Look, they all come before the Lord. They're all praying. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, verse 14, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of, amen, a Levite. The godly heritage right there. Descendant of Asaph. He stood in the assembly and he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Say that. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the way of Pass of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your possessions and stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. There it is again. Do not be discouraged. Listen, there's times when you're facing things. It'll happen this year, I promise you. You get out of the boat, you start walking on the water, you're going to face something and you'd be like, what have I done? And you have to take hold of that and throw it to the ground and speak to your soul like David. Why so downcast? I'm not going to yield to fear. He brought me this far. He's not going to let me sink or drown. God's with me. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. God is with me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get to the other side. I'm going to possess what he told me I could have. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to let up. I'm going to continue to decree, to proclaim, to declare until he splits the eastern sky. That's what you have to do. So many people don't walk in victory, but it's not them intrinsically. They have to learn how. It's been modeled for us for generations. It's been modeled in the Word. It's right here. It's right here. When you go to do something extreme for God, you're going to have fear come on you like a skunk sprays stink. And you'll want to run and scream like a little girl. You'll feel that. You reject it. And you declare God's word. Don't be afraid. And the Lord's saying this to me over and over. Unprecedented victory. Don't be afraid. I'm like, I'm not. Good. Don't be afraid. I'm like, okay. What's coming? Be strong and courageous, son. I'm like, okay. Is it the drone thing? What's happening, Lord? I'm almost done. Can I have keys, please? Jehoshaphat bowed his face down to the ground, face to the ground with all his people, verse 18. And Jerusalem fell down and worshiped the Lord. And some of the Levites and the Kohathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, in a very loud voice. You know, worship is loud. I sometimes get concerned when I'm in a church and I don't hear a congregation singing. They're either defeated or they just don't know. Worship's loud. You say, well, I don't like it loud. You will hate heaven. That's not an excuse, Mr. Sound Man, to make our ears bleed. God bless you. You do a great job. Early in the morning, they left the desert of Tekoa. verse 20. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." Another version says, "Believe the prophets and you shall prosper." Do you know what the gate code is to the church? It's not anymore. The gate, the locks to the property for years. You know what it was? 2020. And you know why it was 2020? Because every time I came over here and saw that giant piece of property and all the impossibilities, I thought, "Believe the prophets and prosper. We're going in." Over, I've done it hundreds of times. Push that lock to 2020. Why? You gotta have things like that in your life. You gotta have things in your heart where you just are speaking it out. Write it on the wall. Write it on the tablets of your heart. Put it on the inside of your eyelids. Be strong. Be courageous. Take the land. Take the promise. If everybody could do it, then everybody would. If it was easy, fear comes. Challenges come. The devil's heard about your current promotion that's on your way. Punch him in the throat by the blood of Jesus and step on over. Punch him in the throat with the blood of the Lamb. Fix your eyes. Just a couple things and we'll pray in this new year. I just felt so strong about sharing this with you. I'm in it with you. We will see an unprecedented victory, which means we will fight battles. We're in one right now, whether you realize it or not. And we've already won because the battle belongs to the Lord. Fix your eyes on God, not man. Don't look for your victory or your, don't look for the answer to come by man. I've long fixed that. You fix it. Don't forget what God has done. Spiritual amnesia is a recipe for a disaster. Don't forget what he's done. You say, "Well, I just got saved." Well, go read this. Go read this, because this is a story of all the stuff he's done. And if he did it for them, he can do it for you. And start taking steps of faith. And do it with wisdom. Get plugged in. Learn. Grow. Find out about the word. Get an accountability. Just don't go off flippant and start some business that you don't know anything about and destroy yourself and get in debt. That's dumb. Learn. Get discipled. That must have been for somebody. Don't forget what God's done. Remove any obstacle that keeps you from hearing God. We're about to fast. It starts January 6th. We're going to fast. So I'm on a pretty rigid nutritional program. I'm dialing that thing down really hard. No more gum. Man, I've grown to really like it, but I feel like the Lord's like, "What are you doing? Are you doing some things that the Lord wants you to let go of? Come on, get rid of anything that's going to get in the way. Anything, any obstacle, get it out of your life." Reflecting on the children of Israel, put a guard over your mouth. Put a guard over your mouth. Jehoshaphat prayed. God gave him an answer through a prophet. They cried out to God. That's always the recipe. You cry out for deliverance. We've got times of prayer that are up and coming that will fuel the fire. Get in those times of prayer. Believe the prophets and prosper. Don't have a distorted view. Unprecedented victories for those who will embrace the truth of what I'm preaching to you right now. Now, not everybody will receive it. Not everybody will do it. Some people will stay on the other side. Refuse to be afraid. Say that. I refuse to be afraid. Say it again. I refuse to be afraid. But I don't know how to make it any more plain to you. I've experienced great fear and just have to stand up and start praying in the spirit and say, no, 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 God, you said, frozen on the side of the highway outside of Glen Allen, the church truck with gelled gasoline, 50 below zero. Waited for hours doing jumping jacks inside the truck, outside the truck. I start going to sleep. All I can think is cotton will kill you, cotton will kill you. How many of you know cotton will kill you? I just had fear come all over me. I'm gonna die. As I'm going to sleep, I'm gonna die. Lord, I'm gonna die. And then the Spirit of God came on me and said, have you seen the revival yet? I'm like, heck no, everybody in the church hates me and there's only really a handful of people. Well, this ain't it then. I'm like, well, this ain't it then. And I just prophesied in the same way. I just said, God, you said in the same way that there's a pipeline that goes from from the North Slope to Valdez. The golden oil of Zechariah will flow and a pipeline of revival will come. I'm sending you to Alaska to do it. And I thought, I've not seen that. I'm not dying on the side of the road outside of Delta Junction in some piece of trash car with a church that hates my guts. You're going to bring a resurrection. God, you're going to do something great. Oh, God, I just went crazy. Took my own offering, and the police pulled up and rescued me. Come on, that's how it is. That's how it is. You gotta fight. Refuse to be afraid. Jehoshaphat's battle plans. Verse 17, we didn't read it, but you gotta go and position yourself. What does that mean? Get your vanilla booty in church. How many people do I know, they're struggling, and they like show up once a month? Like, oh yeah. You know, I was there when that last message you preached, and they referenced something I preached six Sundays ago. I'm like, no, I don't remember that. This is like boot camp. It's like putting fuel in your car. I've got to go get some gasoline here for my vehicle. Why? Because I'm run out just about. Gotta go get gas. See, this is where you get gas, where you get filled up. It's where you get trained. It's where you get equipped. This is not some stupid religious thing. We're equipping you to take the promised land. This isn't some joke. Am I getting through? This is your life, my life. It's the call of God. It's the state of Alaska. It's every village, Pastor Tim. Every phone call counts. Every person matters. It's reaching the lost at any cost. It's being burdened with a glorious burden for the nations. It's pleading and crying and decreeing, God, you're in heaven. It's forever settled. You came and you defeated hell, death, and the grave. Anoint me tonight. Anoint me tomorrow. Anoint me the next day that when I preach and when I share, you'd inject my words with the power of the fire of the Holy Ghost and people would turn to you. People would get right. People get saved. God, double the church by summer. Let a burden, let the anguish of God burn on the inside of you. This is not some stupid joke, a little religious game. Oh no, the nations are waiting for us to wake up. The nations are waiting for you to stand up. The nations are waiting for you to declare it. Believe the prophets and prosper. Don't be afraid. Grow a spine by the power of the Holy Ghost and change your life. Change the nation. Change the town, the village, your family. You say, Pastor, you don't know where I come from. You don't know the power of God to change a heart. He can change it. Come on, lift your hands and shout to God. Yes!
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.